You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. There's a ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
We want to welcome you, and I have to caution you ahead of time. We're anticipating some technical difficulties. Oh, not because of our equipment. We've got first-rate satellite coverage. Globalstar is outstanding. It's the way we're being messed with, and I was messed with right before we came on the air. And our first hour guest, Paul Preston, has had issues, and I've had issues whenever I cover certain topics, and we're hitting two of them tonight. Anyway, let me lay out the show for you and what's coming up in this evening's broadcast. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Paul Preston, and I told him kind of jokingly he's going to be the governor of America's 51st state. Now, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek so Paul doesn't get mad at me, because I don't think he wants that kind of limelight. But he's out there in front, and you've sent me emails and said, man, I'm seeing Paul everywhere. Is that the Paul you know? Yeah, that's the Paul I know. And we're going to be talking about issues related to new California. In the second hour, we're tentatively scheduled to talk to Michael Snyder, candidate for Congress in Idaho. And we're having trouble connecting with Michael because he's on the trail campaigning, but we're confident we'll be able to do that. And in the third hour, we're going to be joined by Bob Griswold. And we have some grim stuff to talk about, given the recent events. I contacted Bob late last night, and I said, Bob, late notice, but I'd really like to get you on the third hour. I was going to play this pre-record, but I'd rather have you, because we have so many pressing issues right now that require preparation. The show is made possible by a number of good people, but let me say this right off the top. You hear an ad there for Virtual Shield. I don't think you can afford to be without it, because you can get started for as low as $4.95. And if you use my name, and this is why I'm bringing this up, because that's not in the commercial, if you use my name in the coupon box, the one that says, hey, you know what, you can block the government from following you around and intruding in your computer web surfing habits, use my name and you'll save 20%. Also, too, with Get the Tea, tell them Dave Hodges sent you, and they'll direct you to the areas where there's lots of discounts. So just wanted to mention that. And also, too, we're brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals. My good friend Steve Quayle converting soon-to-be worthless cash, and hopefully not too many, but probably a lot of bank failures coming up given the debt we're going through and the volatility of events and et cetera, et cetera. Gold's a great hedge. It's a great protection. And Steve can hook you up, and he'll tell you if it's right for you or not. There is absolutely no pressure. In fact, sometimes he discourages people. He says, I'm not sure this is right for you, but he'll let you know if it is. How do you get a hold of Steve? Give him a call at 406-586-4842. That is 406-586-4842. And don't forget, Steve has a conference coming up with the True Legends. Love this stuff. I'm going to be there, and it's in September. And no, I'm not a participant. I'm just going to be an observer. I'm going to go there and report and make my notes, excuse me, and do my, I'll do my thing, so to speak, in terms of reporting to YouTube on what I see and what I hear. Is going to be awesome. And it's in September, but you can register now because they will sell out. I've got an ad for it on my website, and Steve has one on stevequayle.com. And also, and you can still hear in my voice, I'm still getting through the crud. What is it, the H3N2? I can't keep up with all the N's and H's, but that's what I'm told I have. We're also brought to you by Numana Food. In this day and age of uncertainty, you can't afford to be without storable food. If you got it, great. Just sit tight for a few seconds here while I tell people who don't have it, you need to have it. You don't need me to tell you why. Just do it. Now, you need 3 to 6 months minimum. A lot of people say 6 months to 2 years is the optimal. Do what you can. Go to Numana.com pneumona.com/Dave. That's pneumona.com/Dave. And until the end of the month, there's a 10% special if you use my name in the coupon box, Hodges. 10. That's right, Hodges 10 for 10% off. It's a great deal. It's the best storable food company out there. Well, that kind of takes care of who takes care of us. Now we're going to talk about who's taking care of New Tech California by welcoming my guest in from Agenda 21 Radio, Mr. Paul Preston. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on, Dave.
Well, Paul, you snuck up on everybody. That's all I can say. Is you probably should be a covert intelligence officer somewhere, the way you guys pulled this off. It had almost escaped my attention.
Well, yeah, it's sort of been building. It's actually something I thought about doing about a year and a half ago when I was involved with another movement, and they didn't want to get involved with such things because that would, of course, forward the idea of creating a new state, actually forming a new state. So we sort of did a little bit of gut check, and we got some other counties on board, and now we are up to 29 counties that have been so-called certified in New California by forming organized committees in each one of those counties. So we've got 29 of the 58 counties right now. We're going to be moving that up. Actually, I think realistically, we thought we'd be at 40 counties right now. We're really actually pretty close. We have a lot of the paperwork. We just haven't processed it. We'll probably be at that 40 mark pretty soon, within the next week and a half, of counties that are clamoring to become part of New California because they see the light, so to speak. And I've actually gotten inquiries from all 58 counties. The last county to come on board was 2 days ago, and that was Marin County finally contacted me and said, how can we form a group? And believe it or not, Dave, I got calls, five of them. I'm counting five calls from San Francisco County.
No.
I did. And one of them is a big name person who said, do not mention my name, so I won't. But they're intrigued with the idea. They said they've got to get rid of this scourge in California. And, you know, I've heard from everybody. I've heard from all different sexual persuasions, all different races and creeds and ethnic groups, all different political persuasions, and they all want out of California. So that's why New California has taken off. The numbers that we have had have just been staggering in terms of people that have called in, people that we've had. This is amazing, but the day that we rolled out with the Declaration of Independence, which was Martin Luther King's birthday, his actual birthday on the 15th Monday, what we did is we got 178 phone calls after that, and it was kind of interesting. Of 178 phone calls, 176 were just outrageously excited about the prospect of a new California. One of the guys called and he said, is this New California? And I said, yes, it is. And he goes, oh, and hung up. And the other guy gave me some sort of discombobulated conversation. So those are the two that were not necessarily in favor. And then it's been like that ever since. We had 240, 280, 260. The numbers just keep going every single day for phone calls and then emails. We've been absolutely smothered. And, of course, the news coverage has been outstanding and continues to be rolling into this next week.
Well, that's outstanding, Paul. And I knew it would be well-received. I'm surprised that you're reaching as many counties as you are, but let me ask you a directed question. Do you anticipate that New California will cooperate with President Trump and ICE with regard to immigration enforcement?
100%, of course. I got to tell you something that's really important, and I think that so that people, we can dispel any notion that we are in any way, shape, or form in line with any of the California laws. All of us that are in New California have to take an oath of office, which swears us to the Constitution of the United States. No other movement out there does that or has ever thought about doing that. We came out with an affirmation at the very beginning before we read the pledge, before we read the Declaration of Independence, and we pledged allegiance, all of us, to a person, to the United States of America and the Constitution.
Well, so that's refreshing because the old California Attorney General, Javier Becerra, I believe his name is going to prosecute businesses who cooperate with INS and ICE and report illegal immigration and illegal hiring.
Correct. That's what he said. He said that on Friday. And that is a violation of Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, which states that you have to be provide a Republican form of government, which, of course, he is not doing right there, and also that people are free from invasion, and that's not the case here. We're clearly wide open for invasion, literally invasion, that's what it says. And Javier Becerra is deliberately and with a forethought going down the road of secession. He wants to secede from the United States, and the breakdown of law and order into lawlessness, which is what we are descending into in California, is very, very evident, especially now that when you have a state official, especially an attorney general, blatantly come out and say, we are not following the Constitution of the United States. We are thinking that this is the point at which we might actually appeal to the President of the United States and go directly for a state split based upon his sedition, open sedition.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and this is not for dramatics, I'm not trying to be melodramatic here, but Becerra needs to be in jail for
right,
what
he needs
doing.
To be arrested immediately. He needs to be arrested immediately.
Yeah, this isn't just an objectionable political action. This is a heinous, illegal action that flies in the face of the national security of the United States, covered by
Absolutely.
Statute.
Right, right. This is much as firing on Fort Sumter. Same thing.
Interesting
same
analogy.
Exactly.
A very,
yeah,
very, thing. Very interesting analogy. Well, there are a lot of people. Well, let's back up, too. You said Becerra wants California to exit the country. You're clearly referencing CalExit, of which many former Obama administration officials are heading up, like Eric Holder, who's basically the spokesperson. Where's that CalExit movement at right now?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I don't think that the CalExit that we know is in the face of it that we see. It's run by a certain guy who actually called me the other day to debate him, and I said, I don't think so. And anyway, Marcos Ruiz Evans is his name. He called me, and I said, no, I'm not going to debate you. Because that portion of what is visibly seen is really sort of the facade, if you will, of what really goes on with the so-called CalExit, which is what you're seeing right here, right now, the actual secessionist movement, I think. This is the secessionist movement that they want in California. And Javier Becerra has just come down and stated that they want secession. There's no one who supports this, of course, except for the elites at the top, Jerry Brown, Javier Becerra, Alex Padilla, Kevin De Leon, Anthony Rennan. They're the leadership of the government, basically, from the Assembly to the Senate to the Attorney General to the Secretary of State to Jerry Brown. So you can see how this is all tracking. And you have their minions in the mob, basically the mafia, the Mexican mob. They're called the Mexican mafia, actually, in the capitalized. Nobody wants to bring that up, but that's what they are called over, in the state capitol building. But the cartels are clearly behind this, and mm-hmm. so are a lot of internationals that are out there. They're globalists. This is all a globalist attempt to take over California.
Is it your position that the cartels are a globalist-controlled network of criminals doing the bidding of the globalists, like the deep state?
Absolutely.
Mine too.
If we've seen one thing from this whole thing that's happening right now with Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions and, of course, all these indictments that are out there, it's kind of hard to say that this isn't happening now in California. What is happening, I think, in California is that they're starting to squirm like crazy because they're had. And I think that actually, in looking at it in hindsight, in the numerous conversations I've had with people with aid scholars and attorneys, they seem to think that we have actually pressed the button when we came out and declared independence on the 15th. That was sort of a go button that kind of shocked them and shocked them into disbelief. We're talking about Javier Becerra and Brown and the folks. And they have come out, I think, rather hastily with these comments that they have made towards secession. And I don't think they're anywhere near being able to pull it off. That's why I think that this attempt that they will that they're putting up right now will end in complete failure. And I hope and I pray, Dave, that we don't get any kind of civil war that's being sparked by Javier Becerra's unlawful and illegal attempt at seceding California. Now, our situation, we are completely lawful. We're completely within our parameters of the Constitution and how we're acting. We came out with a Declaration of Independence, which is to serve notice on the state of California that we are going to be in process of forming a new state. That's exactly what we're supposed to do, and we have been working towards that. We have no governmental influence. We don't seek any. We're just groups of citizens that are coming together to seamlessly create a new state in California. With again, you know, we want to work hand in hand with the state of California to create that. But it seems like Javier Becerra, with his action, which is just so completely outrageous, Dave, is a secessionist act. It's just the same equivalent as firing on Fort Sumter.
It's treason. There's no question about
it. It's treason. Straight up. You can't say anything else.
Excuse me. There's a couple of directions I want to go with this, but one, the short direction, is this. Well, first I want to start with a question. Do you know the population breakdown between old California and what you're proposing with new California?
Yeah, approximate numbers, because we, you know, that number changes, but it's between 15 million for new California, somewhere, in, depending upon how the borders and everything line up, because we're still going through that process. 15 to 18 million and 23 million in California, old California.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you why many in the Trump administration who are loyal to him, including the president himself, will champion this. And he may stay out of it for a while. I suspect he will. But you're going to see California now present the Senate with two more Republicans. And you're also going to see probably a clean sweep in the House. So I'm guessing, how many representatives do you think that would be? I don't have my calculator in front of me.
Anywhere from 23 to 27, that's the number we've been told. In California, I think that's 55 total right now. So we'll get 23 to 27.
Watch the Democrats fire back. They can't allow this balance of power to shift like this.
Well, you know, we have an offering for them, and I think the offering is going to be Puerto Rico to become the 52nd state.
Yeah, but you will dwarf what they do. Maybe not in the Senate, but you will in the House because of population.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And because of money and influence.
Right.
No question.
And, you know, that will be the game. See, the thing about California is it's out of money now. It's broke as a joke. And as I've been saying on the radio and other shows, and that gone are the days of which they can shuffle the deck chairs on the Titanic around, because the deck chairs are no more. And so, in other words, they've run out of other people's money, as Margaret Thatcher has said, and they're doomed. And this is why mm-hmm. the governor has come out and said he's going to start clawing back retirement, you know, that's been long promised. I think it's called the California law or rule for retirement, which the government can't dip into it. And so they're trying to float that right now because they're desperate for cash. I mean, all these fires and disasters in Oroville and all that stuff, the state of California got a huge chunk of money from the federal government. And basically that's money, that disaster capitalism, as I call it, has been really keeping them afloat today. So, this is the game in which California is playing. It's a very bad game. In 6 months, it's estimated our financial people tell us that they're going to lose their credit rating. And when that happens, wow. What's going to happen at that point in time is we're going to be totally together as New California in our lobbying efforts. Because, see, we are going to make our case directly to the legislature. This is the beauty of our system in the Article 4, Section 3. We leave the governor out. He's irrelevant in the process. And we negotiate with the legislature. And at that point in time, these guys are going to be absolutely desperate. And they will be, because they're going to be the ones hung out to dry when California goes broke and then there's no more money. Their people are going to be coming down to their offices with torches and pitchforks. We know that. They're worried about that. So that is our case. We're going to go after them from the financial. See, we will be able to have a brand new constitution. And when we have that brand new constitution, we can get rid of the 24/7, 365 legislative cycle they have here in California, which produces hundreds of laws and thousands of regulations and millions, billions of dollars worth of taxes heaped upon people that drive businesses out of California and drives away the middle income, the middle class portion of California, which is now totally depleted. Or they're homeless and they're living along the riverbanks as poor, which is just absolutely phenomenal that we've seen this in the last year and a half or so. Homeless people by the tens of thousands living along the riverbanks of various rivers and in Southern California, in Central California, in Northern California, right just down not too far from my house, there's 3,000 homeless people living along the Feather River. I mean, just a few miles away from me. I mean, this is what California has become. And that's just absolutely ridiculous. And we're 50th in the United States in business friendliness. Hello. We're number 48 in education. We're that low. So, yeah, we've sunk to some big lows in California. That's why we're doing New California.
To me, it's crazy. How far from this coming to fruition do you anticipate you are?
I think that I could give you a better answer, I think, 10 to 18 months from now. And I think as we come up to the election, I think I'll be able to give you a really clear answer as to what's happening. And as things move on in the next month or so, I think even in the next month or so, let's have this conversation because I think we'll have some more clarity, especially about what's going to happen to Javier Becerra. I mean, if I was Sessions, I'd be right down in his office tomorrow morning arresting him.
Well, I don't want to go too far down that alley, but
I know
my feeling about Sessions. Sessions won't even go after the low-hanging fruit of the Hillary Clinton emails. He's going after marijuana, and I'm a non-marijuana user, and I'm for at least clearing the way universally for medical marijuana. I mean, I'm open for negotiation with the other stuff, but I'm tired of the private prisons making money off the marijuana users, which they don't belong in prison. And right. Jeff Sessions says they do. He's a joke. He needs to be gone. And Napolitano from Fox News, Judge Napolitano, needs to become the new Attorney General. He'll kick some butt. But I do agree this is actionable. But let's go to the Sanctuary City issue just for a second here. If I were Trump sitting in the Oval Office and I'm supporting this because it's going to shift the political balance somewhat, I'm going after the Sanctuary City people right now because that'll weaken the opposition.
Yeah, I mean, all these people, especially even, of course, the governor and all the legislators who have signed on to sanctuary. But this is what they don't get. People are dying because of the sanctuary city laws and sanctuary counties and now the sanctuary state. People are dying and it's not being necessarily reported. I was talking on another radio show the other day that these are crimes that aren't being reported. Not only are they being let back out on the street, but they're not being reported. And so as a result, Californians are dying. Now, this is just kind of logical that we'd lock these people back up, but that's not the case. So what we have here are legislators who have passed these laws, and they can be criminally and civilly held liable for this. Now, this was played out in the Santa Rosa, Sonoma County fires here just recently, when it was reported by Breitbart and other news outlets that there was an illegal alien who was an arsonist, a known arsonist who had 5 ICE detainers already, had been released and re-released and re-released and re-released by Sonoma County. And then the 3 probation officers were sent out to look for this fine fellow. And where did they find him? They found him in a park in Santa Rosa setting fire to it. Now, this is the kind of stuff that if this guy is connected to the greater fires, every one of these people in that county, the supervisors, the sheriff, anybody who promoted any of this stuff, they're criminally and civilly liable for those fires. They're going to go to jail. They're just flat out going to go to jail. And, of course, we found out of the things that have happened to in the Thomas Fire and down there in I can't remember the name of that one fire. It's got the Skirball fire. That was another thing that went on. So, these are the kind of things that this whole sanctuary city and state thing put together are having this negative illegal effect. And, of course, sanctuary status of any kind is illegal and unconstitutional. It's something we will be grieving.
Thank goodness. And maybe Kate Steinle will finally get the justice that Kate deserves.
Yes. Yes.
Along with her family. So many issues, but let me bring up a hot topic that's crossing my desk from members of the Border Patrol. They tell me MS-13 is flooding, not coming drip by drip, but flooding into Southern California, and MS-13 are the hitmen for the drug cartels. Tell me what you know about this, if anything, and what you make of it.
Well, I've been hearing, especially since we declared the independence status on Monday for California, And I want to clarify with everybody, that's a, what we put was a notice on the state of California of our intention. It's not that we're declaring independence. And I really want to thank the media actually take this moment because they've actually been very, very good about making that clear about what our intentions are. So we've got a pretty good storyline and narrative about that. But I have been informed by some of my people that that's in fact happening, and it seems to be that there's quite a bit, a few of them, since we've declared independence. So that tells me there's other things in play as well that maybe explain why Javier Becerra and them have done what they did on Friday. Just my speculation. But you're confirming what I've been hearing too. That's not good.
Yeah, let me address the 800-pound elephant in the room now. Are key people in danger? Key people in your movement?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that we're all good right now. I think that this may be a bigger picture thing more than anything else. I think that is this one of these operational moments that we've had discussions with, and that, you know, we've been on the air with you and other people because we have actually had contacts, and we've actually some witnesses actually come forward to our Tea Party and explain things out in public, which was just amazing, about this type of operational thing coming to fruition. And that was over, that was a year ago this month. So we don't know, maybe that's what they're doing.
Well, you told me, you know, this is my hesitation because I don't want to sound hysterical, but you told me over a year ago on this show, excuse me, that at these meetings for CalExit that involved representatives of George Soros, Barack Obama, the Bank of China, the Mexican consulate, and also members of organized criminal cartels who said it would be open season, I'm paraphrasing, on Whitey if we couldn't separate California from the country. I'm sure you remember that conversation very well.
No, that's what I was alluding to, and that was something that an individual came. I was informed by my sources, which were this was in July or January of last year. And I was speaking at the Tea Party, and I was relaying this information, and in walked two gentlemen, and they came in from Sacramento. They'd heard about our Tea Party, and this one person was a Hispanic man, was very, very disturbed about what he had heard, and he had nowhere else to go. He didn't know who else to turn to. And so a friend of a friend of a friend basically said, well, there's a Tea Party going on. You might go down. So he came down and listened to what we were talking about. And it just so happened, and I had no idea this guy was going to be there. He prompted and sort of feathered in on what I was talking about, and he came loose and he just said, look, I was in a meeting. I've been in a couple of meetings in which they've been talking about how they're going to kill Americans in California. They're going to kill and destroy Americans, Europeans out of California. Which plays into the whole La Raza concept, which, you know, we're all familiar with. Who's ever been in education in Southern California and all that stuff, we're all familiar with that. So that was coming to fruition. And then he showed me a videotape of it. And I'm like going, this was after that meeting. I had a 4-hour sit down with him, and he showed me a videotape that he had taken in the meeting. And, that was the case. Those are some of the comments that were coming from that. So that was a big concern. We expressed our concern back then. We hope that things aren't happening right now. We think that what we've done in terms of New California has taken a high road, and perhaps as more Californians come on board with us, this notion or these ideas and thoughts won't emerge at all and won't happen. But I'm telling you, with what I've heard and now what you're telling me is a big concern.
Well, I think this movement of New California, and I'm behind it, don't take this the wrong way, but I think you guys have placed California as the, shall we say, the false flag capital of the world in future tense?
Well,
they got to stop this, Paul. They can't let this go through.
Well, and that's the job of the federal government. You know, that our movement and our people are we're just exercising our lawful responsibilities, which is what we should be doing. the Constitution tells us to be doing what we're doing right now. And it seems to me that obviously we're on the right track. Obviously they're not on the right track. It seems to me that at some point in time, if in fact they continue to pursue a violent way, then the federal government will in fact step in. And we'll have to see what happens here with the Javier Becerra thing. I think Javier Becerra has set things in motion that are they were going to do anyway. It's pretty clear that they want to take over California with the egregious laws and silliness that goes on with all these laws, but they're trying to deliberately destroy our way of life and break down our lawful constitution from California, and also relationship with the United States Constitution, which is exactly what Javier Becerra said the other day. In fact, Tucker Carlson said the exact same thing, but pretty much that I'm telling you right now, I agreed. When I was reading it, I was saying, well, he sure is breaking the law here. And Tucker Carlson went on Fox News and had about a 10-minute spiel about this very subject. So, you know, if he is going to violate the laws, and this is Javier Becerra, he is inviting violence, and that we cannot tolerate. No one should be tolerating it. But it's so fortuitous that here we are with the new California state movement, and we could possibly advantage our way into forming a new state if, in fact, this lawlessness continues and the president steps in and does something about it. That, in fact, could happen.
Excuse me as I battle this still. Let's bring in another possible variable. The Cook County commissioners about a month ago came out and said, we're bringing in the UN. And we don't want the National Guard. They can't do the job, and that's exactly what the National Guard is created for, to stop this widespread violence in Chicago. First of all, that's sedition. That's illegal. But it marks the point that Fox News reported that Obama had reached an agreement with the UN. In the event of chaos in the country, the UN would be coming into the country to restore order. Do you see a possible UN intervention variable at work in California, and do you think Trump would ever permit this?
Trump would never permit this, and I see that that if, in fact, they want to go to such extremes, I'm not sure that they, and now with Trump in form that he is, that the UN is going to do anything. I think that what's happened is that they realize that they've got a different character than Obama. This is what I'm really thinking, I'm seeing here, Dave, is that the new California State Declaration of Independence has really put them in a bind, because they're not ready to move into action, in my opinion. I don't think they have the chess pieces on the board ready to happen. There's a lot of their activity. I get reports out of Southern California about Marxist behavior and so on like that, especially in Orange County. There's a lot of things going on down there. And I don't think they've got the chess pieces aligned yet. I don't think they're ready, and on their side, to actually pull this off. I think it's a desperate attempt at the final hours. I think that the new California state, the Trump economy brewing and building, and the pushback from everybody here in California, and again, the positive results that we've gotten, which has been absolutely universal, I think this has put pressure on them that they've got to do something. And I think they're doing something out of desperation, and that's why I think Javier Becerra said what he said on Friday. I think we're going to see something, but it might not be what they wanted, that's for sure.
Well, I think that's exactly right. It won't be what they want, so that's why I think MS-13 is flooding into the country.
Exactly.
Because
that's the answer right there, right?
There you go. That's exactly right. I wrote an article today about the victories of Trump, and I briefly mentioned them yesterday, and I referred that, and I said, here are the options left to the Democrats nationally. Bernie, Oprah, and assassination. And, of course, amnesty, if they can get it, which I don't think they will, so they can, you know, basically certify 36 million new voters. That's not going to happen. That's what they're down to. And in California, you guys have really narrowed the options of Becerra and Governor Brown. What do you think they have left that they can do? How can they save their backsides and keep their status quo going?
You're talking about because of New California?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the wonderful thing about this, that the founding fathers And you know, this, I'll tell you a little story. I've been on a number of news shows and a couple of, you know, the big ones, and the hosts and the commentators, they just don't understand how we can do what we're doing. And I said, well, it's just all kind of fundamental. It's right there in the Constitution, Article 4, Section 3. Just follow what the founding fathers had in mind, because, you know, we've had all these just bizarro programs, you know, split the state up into six, split it up into three, you know, Cal exit, a proposition here. And of course, none of those ways work. The only way that works is constitutionally an Article 4, Section 3 state split. You just follow the directions. And they are so stupefied by that. It's kind of like, what? But this puts them in a bind. It absolutely does. When we declare independence, when we said we are going to go through this process, we meant process. See, this is something they fear. Because we've been in their process, their leftist notions and so on, for years now. You know, everything to us has been an event, one event after another, one event after. And now, all of a sudden, it's, whoa, 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 we're going to put you through the process of the declaration process, and then we're going to put you through the constitutional process, and then we're going to be in negotiations with your people, face-to-face with the elected representatives, not the governor, who has no say. He can't tell us what to do. He can't tell the legislature what to do. He's completely irrelevant. So this scares them. They're marginalized to the max, exactly what you said. And that's a good thing.
It is. Well, you've kind of taken away the luster from my next question on the first part in terms of what their legal options are. And you narrowed it down very well. That's why we come back to, again, the bottom line is, it's going to revert to violence. And how far do you think they can carry this? How bad could it get? And you know these mentalities. You've dealt with these people. What is your greatest fear with these people in terms of what they'll do?
You know, what they can do are the most heinous things to human beings. I don't know the ability for them to coordinate efforts for an overthrow. And if they did attempt to do something, it would look more like what was happening in the aftermath of the LA riots, when people were jumping in cars, running around, taking shots at anybody they could. And if that's, you know, it may look something like that. I just don't think you can coordinate these people into doing things that might hold cities, as an example, go in and take over a city. You know, we would be able to marshal militias very instantly, very quickly, obviously. And, you know, right now in our own state, as well as other states, to combat this. I think it would not end well for them. Unfortunately, I think a lot of Americans could possibly be killed. And this is my biggest fear. It seems like we're sort of running this little race right now with these folks, because I know they're determined. We've heard the witnesses come forward, even in front. Listen, it's not me saying this. These words were echoed to 80 Tea Party members in a meeting in Yuba City, California, who heard the same things I'm telling you right now from this individual. And then I saw the video. So they're sincere. And whether or not they're desperate at this point, I think they are. That's why I say if we can put pressure, you know, as you know, Dave, on our radio shows, we've been able to push back on a lot of things and stop a lot of things because we get the news out. We tell people what's happening, and pretty soon people start to react to us and don't do things. And I think that's where we're at right now with this. And I'm really glad we did pull off the Declaration of Independence, and it's put everybody in a bind, so to speak. And hopefully we can prevent and stop any kind of violence that's potentially out there.
Well, I do have a suggestion. And I know my advice is cheap and not warranted and called for, but here's what I would suggest. The people who are in the areas that are going to withdraw from old California to form new California, I would do what Sheriff Joe Arpaio did a couple of decades ago when we had a rash of crimes against women in shopping malls at Christmas season. He said, I can't cover all the territory in Maricopa County with my deputies, so he formed the Sheriff's Posse, and they would interview and screen people and train people to assist law enforcement with their duties, and they could cover more ground and more territory. And I think the participating counties in this need to think about forming posses to counter MS-13. And let me tell you why. This isn't just a wild idea I plucked out of the air. during the Central America, no, excuse me, it was during Jade Helm, I heard from a Texas Ranger, and he said they were conducting activities and drills to counter attempted terror cell takeovers of small towns, and they had intelligence that told them they would execute police officers and politicians and so forth. And I wrote an article, and I said, well, with all the MS-13s coming in and Al-Qaeda and all these other groups, I said, we could have the Tet Offensive of terrorism one day and wake up and be attacked everywhere and anywhere. And I think that possibility definitely is there for California. That's why I would suggest the formation of posses in each individual county.
Well, and, you know, I hope it doesn't come to that. And that's something that, is, as you know, has been one of the terrorists' biggest dreams is to one day all of a sudden there's just attacks everywhere and obliterate everybody and drive the country into chaos or the state or whatever. We've all heard those scenarios before. I hope it doesn't come to that. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. We were at a meeting with our local sheriff, and we manage to get CCWs all the time here. And it's interesting because, and you know, you're trained. You have to do all the things you have to do to get a CCW. And the sheriff said to us, because he was asked the question, what would happen if there was a big spike in crime and something was going on? And you ran out of deputies. And he said, well, the first thing I do is I'd reach into my desk drawer, and he says, I got a list of everybody who's a CCW in my county. And I start calling them up and deputizing them. He says they're all trained in guns, they know how to handle guns, and they're all competent people. So that's what our sheriff would do.
Okay.
That would be the first line of defense, you know. I mean, those were theoretical. I think he was asked that question a couple of years ago. He's still around, and I don't think anything's changed, but I just thought that was kind of interesting, a sheriff making that comment. And here, if you're a sheriff in a county that doesn't give out CCWs, let's say like Los Angeles County, you know, I think they give out 190-some out of, I don't know how many million they have down there, 15 million or something like that in 1 year. I mean, come on. No wonder they have so much violence. But how comfortable can you feel if all of a sudden you started doing the L.A. riot thing again? You know, this time everybody armed up with AK-47s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're 100% right on the money. But I do believe, well, let's go back to square one. One of the things that you taught me about CalExit movement that would be successful is that would impact so much of the nation's economy because so much retail comes through right. California, and that would be devastating for the rest of the country. If the deep state wants to bring down America, which we know they do, and they want to form this cult called a New World Order, they need to bring down America. And what a great way to do it, starting with this secessionist movement with CalExit. This is how I think they're going to pull out all the stops, Paul.
Sure. Well, they have everything to lose. I mean, they do. And I mean, they're in a corner. I look at them as being in a corner now. And I didn't realize until really Javier Becerra on Friday made the comments that he did how significant of what we did on Monday, it's huge. I know anytime you declare independence, and again, what we did is completely the opposite of what most people would have expected us to do. What has gone on in the past in a lot of these independence movements or a lot of these statehood movements is everybody kind of gets organized, you know, like all the other ones right now. They're going to get organized, they're going to go to the House or the Assembly or the Senate, and they're going to try and do some backdoor way to get to the legislature and get it passed. Yet they never declare themselves independent. And that's the first mechanism you got to do. So that's why we're so unique and different. We've done this, I think, the first time since 1861. So we did it the reverse. We said, we're putting you on notice. We're working with you. We want to work with you. We want to form a new state. We want to make a seamless, nonviolent transition, just like we do every 4 years for president, and do it that way. And the only other option, by the way, this isn't, you know, just make a believe here, guys, that it was in White versus Texas, 1867, said there's really only two ways to divide up a state. One, it's the peaceful process. By Article 4, Section 3. And the other process is, if you want to split up a state, it's by violent revolution. That's the only other option that they have. So that's, you have two ways to do it, violence or nonviolence. And we're choosing nonviolent. But again, what was very abundantly clear to us in the Tea Party, the witnesses that were there that night, this man was making the case that they were talking about, if you don't want, and this came from the time the Obama administration was in, still in office, that they were testing the waters to see whether or not who and what and where would become violent, if need to be, because they could not negotiate a free California to form a new nation. And they were making the contacts then, so obviously they feel that they have to do something now. At least that's the intelligence we're gathering.
Well, no, none of our discussions would be complete on a controversial topic like this without mentioning our friends, in quotes, over at Google, and all the social media interference we're getting. And let me set the tempo here for a second.
Yeah.
After you and I talked a few nights ago on the phone, and you were giving me some of the details, I immediately produced a couple of podcasts that talked about this issue, different aspects of it. Now, people don't know the mechanics of YouTube. You first place your video in the queue, and then it prepares to be uploaded. Well, if it's not uploaded, then YouTube would have no way of knowing what the content is. Yet, I had in there New California, just the title was all they could see. And they demonetized both videos based on that, without even knowing content. And then shortly, just you told me about your situation. I want to hear about it. But also, right before I came on air, 10 minutes before the top of the hour, everything in my systems went down. Now, fortunately, it came back 3 minutes later, and I was able to reorganize and get ready for the show. Paul, what are you experiencing from our friends at Google and the other social media people?
Well, Facebook, they're shutting us down on Facebook. You know, anything in New California, or any of our banners or flags or whatever, you know, they're taking that and shutting us down. And, of course, Google, tonight, it was a crack-up. Google is just basically deliberately disallowing any emails coming in to me. We put out, you know, all these different things to all of our leaders out there. So I've been finding out that people, they've been calling me and saying, you know, your emails are bouncing back from your Google email. And they all have the right address because it's all been sent by the same thing, right? And so they're blocking information, they're blocking the emails now that are coming into me from my county chairs and things like that.
Yeah, that's, I'm not surprised.
They're blocking it. So we've gone to a different thing, and, you know, we can avoid them. And that's the only thing I can tell people out there when you're involved with these kind of things. This is the stuff that Google does and Facebook is doing and all that stuff. So we're working around it.
Well, there's something called Twitch that I've been talking to a couple of people about that we may migrate to at some point in time, because they're not going to allow us to continue. And I mean us, meaning across the board, not
right.
Just you and me.
Right.
They're in the process of trying to shut down all of us simply because they know they're in the minority. And they're tired of us waking people up. And, I mean, Paul, just are you finding, too, just average people are beginning to get how corrupt the government behind the government really is?
Oh, yeah. The New California people all get it. I mean, listen to a person. Dave, to a person. They all talk about this. And it's very, very far and few that don't. I had an 80-year-old woman who called about an hour ago. And was just going all over and taught. I mean, she'd be right in this conversation right here, right now. It's amazing. So this is kind of the theme. They know it's corrupt. They want to stop it. You know, I mean, they go into this whole thing, the deep state. I mean, everything. And this is a range from 20s to 80s. And liberal to Democrat. Like I said, I've gotten people from San Francisco, now Marin County. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, all sexual persuasions are all... races, all ethnic groups, and political persuasions, they're all saying the same thing. We want it to stop, and we want our liberty back.
Are you even finding some of the Democrats are crossing over on this?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah,
well, Paul,
and big ones.
We're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell people how they can follow your good work, both with your website and your radio show. And, of course, you and I are both on together at Red State. Talk Radio, which is a, just a great network. So tell everyone how they can follow you.
Yeah, you can go to agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. And you can email me, paul@a21r.com. That's paul@a21r.com. Now, you can also go to newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. That's the best way to get hold of our information that's coming out. We fill up with information. We're having our first grievance. Our first grievance is going to be Tuesday, in which we're going to lay down Article 4, Section 4, as a grievance post, if you will, and we're going to list a whole bunch of grievances about what California has been doing to stop our Republican form of government, which is now small r. That's not the word bunch of Republicans. It's what the word republic means, which is to represent. We had no longer have a representative government with our mono-party system, so we're going to be doing that on Tuesday.
Well, I would submit to you that I think some of the people in your group are quite learned, and it sounds like they're very familiar with the ways of Thomas Jefferson. And
yes.
I mean, presenting the grievances, and I love
right.
it. I absolutely love
right.
it.
And we're going to do this for 40 weeks, every Tuesday for 40 weeks.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. They got to, you know that, there's a, well, another topic for another time. I don't even want to humor the Jefferson movement here, talking about their radio show, but they got to be in full retreat. I'm just loving this. Paul, congratulations, my friend. I know you've worked very hard to bring this to the table, and now it's moving forward, and the social media can try, but they're going to die trying to stop this movement, no question. Paul,
as
thanks for joining us.
One person at a time. That's the way it works. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio. You know, sometimes you just feel so good because things are going your way. We've had a good week here in America. We really have. But we're going to pick up on a little more activism in hour number two. We have caught up with Michael Snyder, candidate for Congress, and, you know, economic collapse blog. I can get that out. He's terrific. We'll be back after these messages.